The waiting to which we are called during the season of Advent is not a passive waiting. It is the waiting of those who have hope that death and darkness will not have the last word. It is not a passive waiting. It is a waiting that takes discipline. It takes practice. It requires us to keep awake.
That's the Reverend Tyler Tankersley, and today he offers a life-giving message of Advent faith entitled, Jesus is Coming, Look Busy. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. In 1945, we began broadcasting every week as the Protestant Hour, and since 2002, as Day One. In 2020, we proudly celebrate 75 years of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce today's preacher.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Tyler Tankersley, who serves as the senior pastor of Ardmore Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Tyler earned a bachelor's degree in cultural anthropology from Southeast Missouri State University and his Master of Divinity from Central Baptist Theological Seminary, where he was awarded the Franklin Lorenzo Streeter Award for Biblical Interpretation. Tyler earlier served churches in Cape Girardeau and Liberty, Missouri. He is the author of the forthcoming volume on Galatians in the Preaching the Word Homiletical Commentary series from Smith and Helwes. Tyler, welcome to Day One.
Oh, thank you very much.
You became senior pastor of Ardmore Baptist Church only last year, and what a year it's been. First, tell us what it was about this church that drew you to accept their call.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Ardmore Baptist Church is a loving community of faith, and that was really apparent to us in the midst of the search process. The search committee itself was made up of just some of the finest people I've known. Ardmore is a place that takes their missional identity in the community very seriously. We are very active with our local elementary school, with our local neighborhood. Ardmore is also a place of very warm but dignified worship. I think that appealed to me. I knew that I wanted to become the pastor of Ardmore when, without any hesitation, I thought, if I lived in Winston-Salem, this is where I would go to church.
So how have you been responding to the changes in worship and pastoral ministry caused by the COVID-19 pandemic?
I cry a lot, mostly. the church has had to adapt. I mean, this has been a period of time in which we have had to move in directions that I think the church knew we had to move into for a long time, but this has sort of forced us to move in those directions. Directions like being innovative technologically, providing opportunities for community for our church that are outside coming to the church building. The first staff meeting that we had after the pandemic hit, it was our last staff meeting that was face-to-face. And we sat up in our youth room and we were distanced from one another, and we had a whiteboard in the at the front of the room. And basically, we were starting from scratch. So what does it look like to be church in the midst of these days? And obviously, I wouldn't wish this pandemic on anybody. But that spirit of innovation is also kind of exciting. It makes us feel like we are walking in step with the early church as we're seeking ways to be spirit-led in the midst of a very tumultuous time.
You've also been involved with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship leadership. What have you been doing, and why is that an important outlet of ministry for you?
The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship has been my theological home my whole adult life. And I am a product of having got involved with CBF in college, been involved with their college ministries, their college programs, felt a call to ministry, went to a seminary that was affiliated with CBF, stayed involved with CBF, and I'm just so grateful for their leadership in the midst of these days. I have served on leadership with CBF Heartland when I lived in pastored in Missouri, and now I'm active with CBF North Carolina. I'm part of a group that is looking at how we can respond to the need to be more outspoken about racial justice in our theology as a fellowship.
You are a writer as well. In fact, you have a commentary on Galatians coming out. How are you approaching that epistle?
That was a really fun project, and I was really grateful to be asked to be part of that series through Smith and Helwys. I preached on Galatians this past summer, and I'm fairly sure that children will be studying the summer of 2020 for a long time. And it was an interesting time to be looking at Paul's letter to the Galatians. Many times in churches, we tend to read Galatians like it is about Paul's transactional salvation theology. And when you look at Galatians in context, justification is not what we normally think it is. Justification is more about who is justified in calling themselves the people of God. And Paul argues in Galatians that it is our faith, not our ethnicity, that qualifies us to be part of God's people. And you would be hard-pressed to find a more applicable time in our country to be reading such a book.
Tyler, how did you experience your calling to ministry?
I grew up in a Christian home. Parents were really active in our church. My father was a Baptist pastor when I was really young, which is a surefire way that you don't want to become one. But I stumbled into it anyway and kept feeling a call to ministry throughout my teenage years. When I was in college, I had a friend who was serving as a part-time youth minister who needed help with his youth group. And he asked me to come and help. Honestly, I did it just to spend time with my friend. But I began to feel more and more like this is what I might be called to do. And so just remained active in that church and took over that position when my friend moved to another location and just lived out my calling every step of the way. And serving as a senior pastor now of a wonderful church like Ardmore, I feel incredibly blessed to be where I am.
Well, this is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, and a new liturgical church year begins. You'll talk about this in your sermon, but how do you personally like to approach Advent?
I did not grow up in a church that celebrated Advent as part of our worship. Instead, we would have Thanksgiving, and the very next Sunday after Thanksgiving, we sang Joy to the World. We jumped headlong into Christmas. There was no waiting for us. Advent has been something that has helped me to recognize the need to wait, the need to not jump headlong into Christmas, but to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to think about what it means for me to be a person of God's hope, peace, joy, and love in the midst of this season. I also think, and this is what I try to get at in my sermon, Advent theologically is not just about the coming Christ child. It is when we recognize that we Christians continue to wait, to continue to wait for God's kingdom to be established here on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't hear that talked about a lot in pulpits, to be honest with you. I think that we vacillate between two extremes with Christ's second coming. We either are obsessed with it or we ignore it. And I think Advent is our season when we reflect on what it means for us to have our hope in Christ's coming kingdom. To not be obsessed with it, to not try to map it out, to not try to look up at the clouds every day and watch for Christ to return, but instead to be busy here on earth, being kingdom-minded people in all that we do.
Mm-hmm. Your sermon is based on the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 13. Would you read it for us?
Certainly. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
Jesus really seems to want to get his message across here as he repeats, keep alert or keep awake, several times. What stood out for you as you read this?
I think that the need for heightened awareness, and it is easy for us to be lulled into apathy and boredom, but Jesus is calling his disciples to stay on the edge of their seats. And I think what we have to remember about the kind of waiting during Advent is it is not the kind of passive waiting that you do when you're in line at the DMV. It is the kind of waiting where you are waiting to open presents. You are waiting. You're barely contained with your excitement and your energy. And for us kingdom people, I think Jesus is calling us to continue to keep our eyes open to the ways that we can help bring about the kingdom in the here and the now around us, which requires us to avoid apathy and boredom and complacency, and instead to be fully and completely engaged with the world.
Tyler, your sermon is entitled, Jesus is Coming, Look Busy. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. It was an honor.
This is Peter Wallace. 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us. We all yearn for good news. That's why the Day One Radio Ministry is needed more than ever. 2020 is also our 75th year of ministry. And in these difficult days, more listeners than ever are counting on the positive, powerful messages we share. So please, help Day One continue to proclaim God's good news on the radio and online. And this year, if you make your year-end gift online at dayone.org, your gift will be matched, doubled, through the generosity of the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund. You can mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. But if you give securely online with a donate button on dayone.org, your gift will be matched. We are grateful for your support, and may God bless you.
For most of our childhood, my brother Caleb and I shared a bedroom. We had a great collection of action figures, and on weekday nights, we would set them up into epic battles. It was a combination of superheroes, Star Wars characters, Power Rangers, and Ninja Turtles all fighting one another. But on Saturday afternoons, we had to clean our room. Our mother would make us go into the room, and we would stare at the apocalyptic battlefield that was our bedroom. Our mother would then say to us, "Okay, boys, get to work, and when I come back, I want to be able to see that you were cleaning your room." She would then walk down the hallway and we would start picking up our toys. But after a few minutes, we would sort of get distracted. And before you know it, we were back to doing one of our epic battles where Batman was trying to stop Darth Vader. But then we would hear, the sound. The sound that would make us suddenly peer at one another with wide eyes in panic. The sound of our mother's footsteps coming down the hall. One of us would say, "Mom's coming! Start cleaning!" Frantically, we would start shoving clothes under the bed and start throwing toys in the closet and trying to make it look like we had at least done something. Maybe you've seen a bumper sticker or a t-shirt with the phrase, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." Is that how we are supposed to feel about Christ's second coming? Is Jesus like a mother walking down the hall to check to see if her sons are cleaning their room? Well, in some sense, yes. At least according to our passage from the Gospel of Mark, which certainly feels like an odd passage for this first Sunday of Advent. We are so used to Advent simply being the precursor to Christmas. On the first Sunday of Advent, many of us are still recovering from our Thanksgiving tryptophan-induced comas, or perhaps we're nodding off from having woken up at 4 a.m. to snag some Black Friday deals. Culturally, Advent is simply skipped over as we jump headlong into decking the halls, jingling the bells, and rocking around the Christmas tree. But the church has a countercultural period of time called Advent, in which we do not begin Christmas before its due time. Instead, we do something that most of us spend a lifetime avoiding. We wait. The Episcopal preacher Fleming Rutledge says that Advent is not for wimps. For the church, the season of Advent is a season of waiting, a season of shadows, a season of coming to terms with the fact that we live in the liminal time of already, but not yet. We remember that the Lord has come, but yet we continue to wait for Him to come again. And that is exactly what Jesus tackles in this passage from Mark 13. This chapter in Mark's Gospel is often referred to as the Little Apocalypse. It does not have the imaginative characters of the book of Revelation, but it does have the same themes of judgment, warning, and hope all mixed together. And just like the book of Revelation, this chapter remains a mystery to many of us. Jesus even says that nobody knows the time of His eventual return. Nobody. Not the angels in heaven keeping court, and not even the Son of God Himself. And yet, the fact that that timeline is mysterious to even Jesus Himself has not stopped countless Christians throughout the centuries taking it upon themselves to try to calculate or even to predict when Jesus will return. But Jesus does not want us to dwell on trying to map Christ's return on a calendar date. He is much more interested in how it affects the living of our days. Jesus here tells a small parable of the master of a household who departs for a journey. He leaves his servants in charge of the house, and specifically, he tasks a doorkeeper to keep watch for the master's return. He warns them not to fall asleep lest they miss the master's arrival. Jesus tells the doorkeeper that the master could arrive in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Rather than simply being a random assortment of times, these four words were the common Roman ways of dividing the nighttime hours. For the first century audience of Mark's Gospel, who were reading this story in the Roman Empire, this would have been a clear nod to the fact that Christ is Lord of all time, even in the realm of Caesar. In his parable, Jesus warns that the servants are to keep awake because they do not know when the master will arrive home. When I was in college, I was once asked to house sit for some family friends. They had a nice house, and when I stayed in their house, I lived, well, like a college student. I didn't do any dishes. I dropped my dirty socks where I felt like it and basically lived like a slob. They told me the day they were planning to return, so I figured I would clean everything up that morning. I went out with friends the night before and returned an hour in which most of the world was asleep. Again, I was a college student. To my utter horror, when I pulled up to their house, their car was in the driveway. They came home early. And believe me, there is nothing as embarrassing as cleaning up someone's messy home after they had trusted you to care for it. At the end of our passage, Jesus suddenly breaks the fourth wall of his storytelling, and he addresses us, the readers. He tells us that, like the servants of this master, we are to keep awake. Now, keeping awake does not seem like the kind of message we necessarily need to hear during this season. For most of us, our schedules are filling up fast with various Christmas festivities, children's class parties, and holiday church functions. Maybe a better message for us during this Advent season might be slow down and take a nap. But the busyness to which Christ calls us this season is very different than the overly caffeinated, sticky sweet busyness of our society's Christmas extravaganza. Christ calls us this Advent season to keep our senses awake to the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Not only are we to keep our eyes peeled for the coming of Christ, but also for the ways that Christ's kingdom pierces through into our here and our now. We are to keep awake because our absent Lord has given us a job to do. Our job is not to attempt to calculate when Christ will return, nor is it to ignore his return completely. The Apostle Paul says that we are to be ministers and ambassadors of reconciliation in the world. The waiting to which we are called during the season of Advent is not a passive waiting. It is the waiting of those who have hope that death and darkness will not have the last word. It is not a passive waiting. It is a waiting that takes discipline. It takes practice. It requires us to keep awake. It is easy for us to become distracted from this hope, especially this Advent. We are all still reeling from a contentious presidential election, necessary national conversations on race and justice, and of course, a global pandemic unlike anything in our lifetimes. It is easy for us to become distracted. Like my brother Caleb and I, we mean well, but sometimes we're more interested in Batman fighting Darth Vader than we are in getting our room clean. The hope we have during Advent is not for wimps. We are to continually place our hope in the coming Christ, but also keep our eyes peeled for the kingdom of God piercing through into our world, to be busy helping to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Perhaps during this Advent season, we can regain the ancient disciplines of looking at our lives with an introspective spirit. Ignatian spirituality has a practice called the Prayer of Examen. It is prayed twice daily, and it's simply a prayer seeking honest self-awareness. It recommends we review our day and ask the questions, when did I live out the love of Jesus Christ today? And when did I not live out the love of Jesus Christ today? As we review our days in this Advent season, we could think of it in terms of Advent. How did I show hopeful waiting for Christ? Or how did I show hopeless apathy? The prayer ends with a plea for God's grace and mercy as you start the next day. After all, God's mercies are new every morning. My 3-year-old daughter, Charlotte, has a very different reaction to knowing when my mom is arriving. When Charlotte knows that her Graham will be coming for a visit soon, she begins her preparations. She sets aside the books she wants to read with Graham, she queues up the shows she wants them to watch together on Netflix, and she does what her father would not do. she clings her room. As my mom's car pulls into the driveway after traveling from Missouri to North Carolina, Charlotte stands at the glass front door. She jumps up and down and she screams, "She's here! She's here!" After giving each other big hugs, Charlotte will immediately take my mom's hand and say, "Graham, come see my room. I cleaned it just for you." No one knows when Christ will return, not even Jesus himself. But the hope we have at Advent is that we know he is coming. We don't know when, but when it occurs isn't really our business. What is our business, and what should keep our attention, is, like Charlotte, doing everything we can to prepare, anticipate, and hope his arrival. May Christ find us alert, awake, and busy with the work of the kingdom. May Christ find us feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, and visiting the imprisoned. Keep awake, for Christ is coming back, sisters and brothers. Keep awake, and let's make ready so that our lives will show our hope this Advent. Sisters and brothers, Jesus is coming. Let's be busy. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Most gracious and creative God, we ask that you would guide us during this Advent season, that we might be busy for the sake of your good news. Help us to be busy practicing resurrection in our world as we place our hope in the coming Christ child and in your coming kingdom. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Tyler Tankersley, senior pastor of Ardmore Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. For a free transcript of his sermon for the first Sunday of Advent, "Jesus is Coming, Look Busy," call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Dr. Nathaniel Phillips, senior pastor of Kirk in the Hills Presbyterian Church in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. His sermon for the second Sunday of Advent is called "To Be with a Baby." I hope you'll be listening. That's next time on Day One. Now, Tyler Tankersley offers some final reflections on today's message, "Jesus is Coming, Look Busy." Tyler, Advent often gets lost in the shuffle between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you said. It's a time of waiting for the coming of the Savior, and yet we start the season of Advent with this text about keeping alert and awake, or as you titled your sermon, "Jesus is Coming, Look Busy." It's easy to get sidetracked, as many of us have, in trying to figure out a particular day when Jesus actually comes again. But Jesus clearly doesn't want us to dwell on that. He is much more concerned about how his promised return affects the living of our days. So say more about how we are to wait actively in specific ways.
Certainly. I think it has to do with the nature of hope. You know, we as Christians, we have hope in a variety of things. Right after I record this interview with you, Peter, I am going to a local hospice house to sit with a church member who is very likely in her last hours. And I will sit with her and pray with her and her family because we have hope that after all of the suffering that she's gone through, there is goodness and grace found in the arms of Christ. And that is the hope that we have. But the hope that we have as Christians and the hope that we reflect on during Advent is not just about life after death. It's life before death.
Mm.
It's bringing the kingdom to the here and the now.
Mm.
It's fulfilling the mission of Jesus to the least of these. And that is fueled by our hope that just around the bend is God's kingdom, where all wrongs are righted, where all tears are wiped. And while we hold that hope that that is coming, we're to practice that now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that passages like this one from Mark remind us to keep awake, for what may be around us that we are called to do, to be neighborly and to be people of hope and peace and joy and love today.
Hmm. You said not only are we to keep our eyes peeled for the coming of Christ, but also for the ways that Christ's kingdom pierces through into our here and now. How can we open ourselves up to noticing when that happens?
I think that looking at ways that the Spirit has moved in our community before can give us a heightened awareness of the ways that the Spirit is moving now. I mentioned in the sermon that we are just recovering from a very contentious presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And sociologists tell us that we are more divided or as divided as we were at the time before the Civil War.
Mm.
And many of our churches have people who walked into the voting booth a few weeks ago and canceled out one another's votes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they gather to sing and to worship and to pray and to work together. I don't think the church has any better tool of evangelism today than Christian unity, because our world desperately needs to see that people who disagree can come together for common cause. So I think that's one way that I see the kingdom breaking in. I think, too, that we are also seeing with our eyes now examples of racial injustice in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't ignore that any longer. And maybe that is the Spirit forcing us to come to terms with what it means to fulfill our promise to be a place for all people. And I think that the church has a responsibility and an opportunity to rise to the occasion and to say with those who are marginalized and those who are oppressed that Christ hears your cries and will right these wrongs, and we will be part of it.
Tyler, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I hope as we begin this Advent season that we will continue to move through all that the season brings to us, but that we will also take opportunity to reflect on our days. The prayer of Examen is a tool of spirituality that we can use to reflect on how did we live out hope in this day, and how did we not live out hope?
Mm-hmm.
What I hope that people take away is the ability, even in the midst of a hurried and crazy Advent season, to stop and pause and reflect on how we are called to live out hope in our little corner of the world.
Mm. Tyler Tankersley, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
Celebrating 75 years of ministry, Day One is the voice of America's historic Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.